Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to Cruiserweight Day here on the program. We have with us some of the top Cruiserweight competitors in all of the independent professional wrestling scene. Sign Guy along with JB Moonshine and QT Vokes with you like normal. And let me introduce you to some of our guests here, some Cruiserweights we have with us. Chris Brady, the CPW Cruiserweight Champion. We have my former tag team partner, Aaron Anarchy. We have the AIWF Cruiserweight Champion, Kit Reaver. And we also have with us, I believe, one other guy from Indiana. Who else do we have? We got one more guest from the 765 area code.
Oh, that's me, Braden Lee. Hello.
Braden Lee, I thought as much. All right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for taking the time today to be with us. And I'm going to start us out with simple, basic question to start with. If you could tell us what kind of defined you making the jump into a cruiserweight division, what made you want to be a cruiserweight wrestler, and the size you're normally fighting at when you're active in a cruiserweight division. And I'll try to go in order of years in the business, and I believe I'm going to be starting with Aaron Anarchy.
Oh, I'm the old man. Oh, crap. I have no choice. I mean, I've been just a small kid all my life, so as far as kind of wrestling, I was going to be a cruiserweight no matter what, and I love it.
Now, what size are you normally competing at? I know you wrestle people of all sizes, but when you're wrestling as a cruiserweight, what's the average size you're going with?
I usually about between 120 and 130 is my size.
Definitely cruiserweight.
Yeah. Find a cruiserweight.
All right, and now I believe we go to Kit Reaver.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess it's a tricky question because, like, I mean, I started out being pretty small when I started in the business. I probably weighed like 140 or so. But as the years have progressed and I've worked my ass off to get bigger, I'm about 180 right now. Hopefully I'll get up to 195 is the end goal. But as far as like a cruiserweight, I mean, I've had a lot of cruiserweight matches, but like I just kind of fluctuate. I wrestle basically anybody and everybody at this point. But I think that the cruiserweight thing is it's fun just because there's a lot more that can be done in a match. There's a lot of fun stories that can be told when facing guys that are closer to your size.
Braden, what about you? What's kind of the size you wrestle at, and what made you want to wrestle as a cruiserweight wrestler?
I mean, I'd say probably similar to Aaron. Like, I mean, I've never been, like, the largest guy, so it's not really so much as wanting to do that, but I mean, it's you know, you got to work with the tools that you're given. So I've always been kind of a smaller guy. So being a cruiserweight just kind of came as part of the deal. But it also helped, I think, that I did enjoy a lot of cruiserweight wrestling growing up. My favorite wrestlers growing up were Amazing Red and Rey Mysterio. So I was naturally drawn to that style, and just kind of worked out that I ended up being a smaller guy. So, I agree with Aaron a lot. Just it's kind of how it unfolded, but I'm not upset about it. You know, I love cruiserweight wrestling. I love all wrestling, but cruiserweight wrestling is just a lot of fun for me.
Chris Brady, what about you?
Oh man, I'm gonna side with Kit Reaver on this one. I've never really been the bigger guy in the ring or in life. So growing up, naturally gravitated towards the guys like Juventud and Rey Mysterio and Jericho. But I just love it, man. I love the cruiserweight division. I love being able to go fast paced and telling a story in a different way. But at the same time, I continue to bust my ass, and I'm okay with going in the ring with anybody.
All right, and it looks like we picked up one more guest. We have the new caller with us.
Hello?
Hello, who do we have?
This is Brad. How are you?
Doing well. Did you have a question for us, Brad?
I just want to say I love the show. I never miss an episode. I really love it.
Great. We appreciate it and hope you're enjoying our cruiserweights.
And I wanted you to weigh in on an age-old debate here, if you have a moment.
What have you got?
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, that's going to be a question for Aaron Anarchy, I think.
Star Wars, end of question.
There we go. All right. Well, guys, we learned from the man himself on this very show a couple of weeks ago. Back in the mid-1990s, it was Kevin Sullivan that came up with the idea of a cruiserweight division. He based it on professional boxing that had cruiserweight divisions. He did not really enjoy the junior heavyweight or the light heavyweight titles for the divisions that were previously used in wrestling. And cruiserweight wrestling was pushed pretty heavily by Kevin Sullivan when he was in charge of WCW. But my question is, how familiar do you make yourself with sort of the history of cruiserweight wrestling? And at what point do you think cruiserweight wrestling really became a viable option for professional wrestlers as far as a way into the sport? And we'll start with Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, same for me. Was like I first saw cruiserweight wrestling and loved it when it was in WCW. Seeing guys like Rey Mysterio, Ultimo Dragon, Eddie Guerrero – seeing all them just fly around the ring and also be technical too about it. I mean, I was just hooked. That's the main thing that kept me in with the Monday Night Wars with keeping watching Nitro was the cruiserweights. And as far as I think making it viable, I mean, like probably even around that same time, even before that, when, you know, small guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels won belts, like they weren't the biggest guys, they weren't Hogan or, you know, the big guys before them. But when you see smaller guys become world champions, I mean, that definitely gives you hope that, hey, doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter.
All right, Kit, what about you?
So, like, the 90s would have been – I mean, I still study all the old cruiserweight matches because, I mean, for me, it's not so much about – I mean, the matches themselves are amazing, but – I think the thing that I took away from those early WCW cruiserweight matches was the chain wrestling. Guys today would not be cruiserweights, but you have guys like Dean Malenko and Perry Saturn, and obviously like Eddie and Chris Jericho. And those, and for me, I still go back and watch those matches and study those matches just for the chain wrestling alone. But I mean, yeah, it's progressed so much that I don't think. I think cruiserweight was this one defined kind of type of match,
But as the years have progressed and you have guys like Daniel Bryan and still Chris Jericho and the Young Bucks and guys that are smaller guys, and then they've kind of broken that barrier where they're showing that, you know, you don't have to be the 80s, you know, Hulk Hogan type to be a champion anymore.
Braden, how about you?
Yeah, see, I feel like there's a lot to unpack. I mean, I feel like when you're talking about the beginnings, and this probably goes for any style that people gravitate towards, is you have to be able to respect the history of any style of wrestling to understand why and how, I think. So I think it's important to look back at the 90s, like the WCW era of cruiserweight wrestling, and see where it really began. But I think it's nice to look at the evolution of it throughout the years and see the guys that have already been mentioned who are kind of who kind of broke the mold and changed how we look at wrestling in general. And now it's one of those things where, because of all the access to wrestling, we can watch, like, you know, Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact. We have all these sources of wrestling. Each company has their own little flair on the cruiserweight or the junior division, and we get to see so many different variations of that. So I just think it's really cool overall.
Nobody's here to die again.
My apologies. I'm trying to hide from her, so.
It's all good.
Oh, the joys of parenthood.
Yes.
Oh, man. I totally understand.
I think everybody does.
All right, and Chris Braden, did you have kind of a opinion on the history and when it became viable?
I think really it became viable during the Monday Night Wars. You know, it was something that naturally gravitated me towards Nitro, watching guys like Billy Kidman and Saturn and Malenko and Ultimo Dragon. And then there were guys where I was watching them, like WWF, the early days, like S.A. Rios, Taka Michinoku. And then it really picked up in TNA with the X Division. And it showed us that even though, you know, we're on the smaller end of the scale, it shows that a lot of us can still break the mold and become larger than life and, you know, still go on to compete, win world titles, and you know, perform all over the world, still be a cruiserweight, but show people that you can do more than just wrestle 145-pounders. So, I mean, that's pretty much what I take away from it. Like kids, like everybody else, I go back and I rewatch a lot of it for the chain wrestling and the fast-paced, high-flying. But I think it definitely became viable in the early 90s.
Now, one of the things that I know cruiserweights have done in the past, and they're still doing it, is because they're going to be more in line with the size of the female talent, a lot of the cruiserweights are called upon to do intergender matches. So, Aaron Anarchy, I know you've done some, but is intergender wrestling at a competitive level where you're having competitive matches against females something that you enjoy doing, or is it something that it's just kind of part of the job for you?
I've enjoyed it from time to time. Some I've, like, it's something I'm still trying to, you know, fathom can still happen. I mean, like, it's
I'm trying to think of those words very wisely.
Right. I mean, I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed watching it. So, I mean, that's the thing that, especially today, is still sort of, like you said, it's got to tread lightly, because there's, like, a lot of people who enjoy it. There's a lot of especially from what I've heard and talked about, people who don't enjoy it. But, I mean, I've watched it. I've enjoyed it. I mean, you still get a great story across.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
That's my next question. Come in. You're okay.
What about you? Do you do a lot of intergender matches against the females being a cruiserweight?
I mean, I have. I don't think it's I love it. I mean, the whole point of wrestling is suspending disbelief, right? I mean, it's to engage the crowd and get the crowd to engage in that, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever it might be. So I love it. I mean, there's no difference between me being in an intergender match versus me wrestling somebody, you know, some big dude that weighs 300 pounds. If the story is there and you know how to tell the story and you know how to engage that crowd, it's going to accomplish the same goal either way.
All right, and what about Brady? Do you do a lot of competitive intergender type matches being a cruiserweight, or is that something you haven't had much of in your career so far?
I think either way, I can pass it off to you, like, because
it don't matter to me.
Yeah, I don't have a long list of intergender opponents that I've had, I've been in, I believe, two or three at point, and I, much like the other guys, I don't personally see an issue with doing it. I know many talented women that I've been in the ring with that I get to watch on shows, so there's no issue to me. It's like stepping in the ring and having a match with them. Like, it's wrestling, it's competitive. I grew up with amateur wrestling, and there was a girl who made it to the state tournament, first time in Indiana history, so it's kind of like just I don't know, I think it's just an overplayed argument at this point. Pretty silly, in my opinion. I think that intergender wrestling is perfectly viable. So,
Chris, what about you? Do you think intergender wrestling for cruiserweights, when they're usually in more competitive matches against the female competition, you think that's something that you'd say you've done a lot of, or have you not really touched on that yet?
I've had my handful of wrestling intergender matches, but man, I see no issue with it. Some of these females out here can go just like most of the men, and a lot of these females nowadays are just badass to watch in the ring. I see no difference in going in the ring with a girl than going in the ring with another man. It's all wrestling. It's all about telling a story. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to wrestle them like a man in a sense, but at the same time, if the story goes the way it needs to go, I think people love it. I see absolutely no issue in it.
All right. Well, guys, my co-host, JB Moonshine, is standing by. I'm sure JB has some questions, so I'll pass things along to him.
Not really. Got me. First of all, for like the whole cruiserweight thing, I think that the whole thing became more of like, you know, high school wrestlers, and everybody has their own weight class. I mean, cruiserweights, yeah, they wrestle bigger guys and stuff like that, but just because they wrestle and beat a bigger man still doesn't make them like, you know, anything but still a cruiserweight. I mean, it's just like the size. So it's like, I think the size of the person what weight class you're going to be in. I mean, if you're small, you're probably automatically going to be a cruiserweight, but you can still wrestle outside your weight. But I just had to add on to what you guys were talking about. But okay. one of my things, like, when you guys became wrestlers and started doing the whole cruiserweight and, like, Chris Jericho, not today's Chris Jericho, like, yesterday's Chris Jericho, but, you know, Eddie Guerrero and all them or whatever, I mean, what is your guys' all-time, and what do you think is, like, the all-time greatest cruiserweight, I mean, that you guys, you know? Like, what's your favorite, you know, the guy? all of the above is not usually the answer. I mean, but I mean, is there like a one that, you know, I mean, when you were a kid or when, you know, what got you into, you know, I want to do that.
Are we going in order of years in the business, JB?
I didn't know I was choosing. Yeah, the same one. I didn't know, but you know, just go like the same.
All right, so that would, Aaron, we'll start with you then.
Yeah.
This is the loaded one. all time greatest cruiserweight, huh?
Yeah, like what is it? You know, the one that people really stands out.
I mean, like,
it could be like anybody. I mean,
this is gonna go like first, like instantly, like Rey Mysterio Jr. I mean, he's a be all end all, but like.
Yeah, I mean, most people usually end up, you know, bad or whatever. I mean, but yeah, that's whatever.
I wish we could go in generations.
Well,
All right, Kit.
So me, wrestling wise, I've always actually kind of gone and navigated Japanese wrestling a lot. Like, I've always been a fan of like All Japan and New Japan. So for me, my big guy, who I always thought was the most innovative person in the world when it came to just wrestling in general, was Jushin Thunder Liger. That is, Jushin Thunder was my go-to.
Well, yeah, that's cool. Wasn't that Braden or?
Yep.
The next guy. Or...
So I kind of mentioned it earlier. I mean, aside from Rey Mysterio Jr., I remember just sitting on the couch and watching TNA, and I would be legitimately mad if Amazing Red was not on the show. So Amazing Red was probably the wrestler that, like, really made me want to be a wrestler. So.
Oh, yeah, he was great. I was more of the Hardy Boys generation, so I was, like, always, I was like this and that. Chris, what about you? And no, it's not you, Chris. You're not the greatest cruiserweight. Now, who do you think?
Man, I don't think I've ever said that I was the greatest cruiserweight. Am I wrestling greatest attraction? Yeah, but I'm not gonna put my name in that hat yet. But definitely growing up, if we're talking about innovative and high flying, I was a huge Amazing Red fan. Anything Amazing Red did in Impact was just phenomenal. Even to this day, watching him in Defy was just amazing to see in person. But definitely, if I'm looking back, man, the greatest cruiserweight of all time, in my opinion, has always been Eddie Guerrero. Early 90s, Eddie was just picking up on the intensity and making every move mean something. Eddie Guerrero was just phenomenal in the ring.
Yeah, I like the whole Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko and all that era.
The Radicals were phenomenal. Eddie was just so intense. He was in the best shape of his life. He made every move mean something. When you looked at him, you legitimately thought or knew he could throw hands with anybody. It was great, man. It was amazing to watch.
Oh yeah, he never broke character, never broke anything. I mean, he was
intense. That was like I said, that's my first thing, you know, watching wrestling was watching Halloween Havoc and watching Rey Mysterio versus Guerrero, and man, what a classic.
To me, I'm in the older era, so like just like my gimmick or whatever, mine was always the. Hillbilly Jim and George Animal Steel.
So much sense would be Hillbilly Jim.
that was my thing. So yeah, I was
more. Now every time I see you in person at BCW,
Yeah, that, those were my go-to days, but yeah. Oh, see.
Oh man, that's great.
Yeah, and I know a couple of you, well, at least one of you, or whatever, don't have a whole lot of years in the business, or whatever. But in the years that you guys have done it or been in it or whatever, I mean, like what's like your like one of your greatest moments type things? I mean, do you have like a memory that you know that you will be able to, you know. One of the things that you would share to people, you know, this is what I did.
Aaron?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
in the years or in your career of being a professional wrestler, or as of in, you know, any traveling or any of the stuff, you know, that you've gone and done, what is like one of the most, you know, one of the most high spots of your career that you would, you know, put on your resume that you would want, you know, that you would, you know, that you would remember, or you would, one of your favorite, you know, something you'd be telling your grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
Somebody
I'm, not liking
that one.
I'm not liking the one I'm starting off all these questions.
I was caught off guard. I was just throwing it, things out there, seeing what you guys got.
I mean, honestly, winning here in New Era, winning their main belt, the New Era title, seeing that's like mainly considered a heavyweight belt, and as far as I know, I'm probably the only cruiserweight who's ever won that title, so.
I'm going to say that I'm a little bit sad that it wasn't teaming with Sun Guy, Aaron, but I understand that was a big moment for you.
That was, yeah, that was a really close second.
I feel better now. Okay. All right. Kit, what about you?
I'm
what
sure,
was your
I'm sure one
milestone?
Day we'll team again and they'll cross it.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, it's hard to narrow them down. I've honestly been blessed to actually have a lot of great moments and a lot of things that I'm proud of. I'll have to narrow it down to like maybe two. Getting the chance to go to the Evolve camp and getting to work in front of all the Evolve guys and getting to have Ciampa and Gargano watch my match was pretty amazing. I think for me, like as a personal here in Kansas, worked a promotion with a guy named Leo D, and supposed to be a one-off match. It was supposed to be a one and done, but we just captivated that crowd, and the crowd loved the match. And what was supposed to be a one match one and done ended up being an 8-month feud that we battled for the Liberty title down here, and just that whole 8 months of feud was just amazing.
Braden?
Yeah, I'd say that the narrowing down this question is pretty hard, and it feels kind of weird because. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that I think I'm proud of. I'd say probably like right now. I guess one thing that I'll always kind of remember is winning the IWA Mid-South Junior Heavyweight Championship. That's my first championship in any promotion, so I'd say it's probably like going to be a memorable moment for me. So that's probably the one I'd go with.
Okay. Chris?
Comes down to you.
Man, there's a few for me. You know, always growing up as a wrestling fan, definitely I have a few, but taking over the Pacific Northwest or attempting to. Winning my first ever title, being the Cruiserweight Championship, that's definitely one of them. Going over to Kansas City, and while I was active duty, being able to get the opportunity, even though they didn't know me, to wrestle Kit Reaver and have that match to kind of show that I can go
and it led me to a lot of opportunities in the Kansas City area, and I can't thank Kid enough for that. And Ring of Honor, being able to do extra work for Ring of Honor, and, you know, getting chokeslammed by Maria Maniac was, you know, you go up watching these promotions and being able to be a part of it in some capacity has always been a dream of mine. So those are definitely my top three.
Yeah, I'll even share one of my notes about that. I haven't really wrestled anybody named or really done anything. I mean, I've gone to a few places. But my biggest moment, I have to say, I have to remember, was the when they took away my theme music and my gimmick or whatever, and maybe go out there to Baby Shark, and I have 500 fans dancing, chant my name to Baby Shark.
I'm so mad at me.
It was like one of my favorite things that they thought that it was going to make embarrass me and make them laugh, and everybody got up and danced, and 500 people chanting my name. That was the only real greatest memory I have. But I'm like, yeah, Baby Shark put me over.
My daughter loves you already.
You could be coming out to Justin Bieber.
No, we already have somebody who does that. Let's see, I had one more question. Now, it's not about the cruiserweight. That was just a random question. Something about cruiserweight. I don't know a whole lot about cruiserweight because I'm not in that category. I was at the tip of my tongue. I need to start writing things down. See, this is why moonshine is not a good thing. I gotta start writing things down. In the whole cruiserweight division type thing or whatever, I mean, do you guys have, like, I mean, a lot of people take their gimmick or take their character or whatever and kind of face it off of somebody. I mean, is there somebody that you guys kind of face off of and, like, I mean, like, with the, you know, like, kind of their persona type thing, or is it, like, or do you guys have your own type thing? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is there anybody off, you know, off the cruiserweight that you guys kind of like just, you know, are?
Aaron, you pattern yourself off somebody?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to pull out a name. Sorry.
I even try to do my own thing. I mean, there's plenty of guys you could copy off of, but I think I was always trying to do make your own thing, try to make you stand out that way. So.
Who's the next one?
Kip.
When I first started out, I mean, I definitely, like, move-wise and persona-wise, I definitely followed, like, multiple guys, like, trying to, like, mimic certain people. But then you just fall into your own, I think. I think when you first start out, I think that's maybe not everybody, but I think we all, when we first start out, have this idea of the wrestlers we envision and enjoy and want to be something like. I know for me a big one was Kenny Omega was a big one for me. So a lot of my original moveset was a lot of Kenny Omega moves and a lot of Jushin Thunder Liger moves and a lot of Kenta stuff. But I think as the years go on and you know, you start cutting promos and you start finding out what works and what doesn't work, you develop your own persona at that point. And then I just fell into my own, you know. I realized what wasn't working and me mimicking, you know, other dudes, like, look good on footage, but, like, really wasn't getting over with the crowd. And then I just fell into my own and just turned. I think the greatest thing I ever watched, that I listened to is, like, anyone talks about their characters, it's always just yourself
you know, amplified, and I just took that advice and ran with it. So my persona anymore is just, it's just me, just, you know, cranked up to 12, and then I just go out there and do what I do.
Braden?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to both guys already. Like I think that it's helpful to try to put your own spin on things, your own flair, and just kind of be yourself or whatever character you're trying to portray. But much like them, I'd say at the start, I definitely tried to model myself or emulate certain aspects of a lot of my favorite wrestlers, just in an attempt to kind of find myself a little bit and see what I like and what I didn't like. So I'd say that I'd say like now it's just more so kind of similar to the gentleman before me, that it's more just myself and still working on what that is and bringing it out. And I think that's probably where I've had the most success personally.
Chris?
Oh, man. Don't put me on the spotlight. You know, we all grow up watching it. We all want to try to be what we see on TV, especially when you first start. So early when I first started, you know, I wanted to be what I saw on TV. I wanted to be, you know, Jeff Hardy, CM Punk. I wanted to do stuff like Leo Rush and, you know, just kind of copy what I see on TV. And, you know, as the years go on, I mean, I'm only 2 years in. So I think there's a lot of growth for me still that I need to continue on. It's basically just finding myself and turning it up to 100. And that's where I struggle a little bit, because I know who I am and I know what I want to be and I know what I want to put out there for the fans. But it's definitely, I'm slowly starting to understand, you know, I'm not trying to be the next Eddie Guerrero. I'm not trying to be the next Rey Mysterio. I'm trying to be the first Chris Brady. So definitely putting that into perspective is fun. It's a fun growth. So I just like to try to do my own thing now.
Oh, that's good. Like me, I did more of trying to put my favorite wrestlers and did my own little spin off. But I am. I'm more of a hillbilly that, you know, that if hillbilly Jim got drunk, that would be me. and I add a little bit of Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan, because I have like a moonshine jug, and when I get knocked down, I take a drink of it, and then I start hopping up and breathing, and then nobody touches me. Yeah, I have a little bit of comedy in mind, but yeah, but that's mostly like what I did. But like me, I mean, when you guys were in this business, I mean, how many, like, did you guys just have like one gimmick, or how many gimmicks did it take before you find the one that you know? Like me, in 17 years, I probably had like, I think, 7 or 8 different gimmicks before I stuck with this one and made this one, you know, and it's been like 10 years going strong, you know? I mean, did you find yourself right away, or did, you know, how many times did, you know, Aaron?
Probably the easiest question. I kind of found mine right away. I mean, I was just like, I was in a punk rock, so fight my hair up in a mohawk and was a punk kid.
So you
then
just
later on, then a few years later, I teamed up with my trainer / tag team partner, Damian Cole, and we were both into retro video games in the 80s, so I was sort of like a punk rock kid with a retro deal.
So you basically just had the one gimmick then?
I would say mine, yeah, basically like right away. I actually never had any other gimmick. I kind of knew right away what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be, which once again was just me. I mean, things changed along the way. I mean, different personality kind of came out a little bit more. But as far as the overall gimmick, yeah, I mean, it's always been me.
Cool. Who's next?
That would go to Braden.
Braden.
Yeah. So I've tried my hand at a few things already, just because I don't know. I thought maybe just
trying things would kind of accelerate the process of finding myself. So I don't know. I've probably had like 3 or 4 different personas I've tried to portray in less than 3 years. But now I've kind of just taken the layers off of some of those and just tried to be more of myself, because those are the kind of wrestlers I enjoyed watching. And that's ultimately what I want to be. So I've kind of went that direction. I did have one gimmick that I liked that I got to portray for a while that was given to me, but it was only at that promotion. But that was, I think that was really interesting, because I was kind of told what to do, so it was easier for me instead of having to come up with all the character stuff there. It was just like, hey, this is what you're going to do this show, and it was like real easy for me. I kind of liked that, but yeah, just right now it's more so just peeling some of those layers off from me just trying stuff and just being more of myself. So
that's what I had to do, just find out what fits me and what makes me more of what I do now, as I say, it works. Chris, you next?
I didn't have a gimmick. I went out there. I went by my shoot name. I was just happy to be there having fun and, doing what I love to do. And then I found, moniker, Wrestling's Greatest Attraction. And, it's definitely just me turned up a little bit. And I'm having fun, man. Crazy hair colors, crazy colored gear, pigtails, braids, whatever I want to do, I do. So I didn't get to go through the stages of 10 different gimmicks or 4 different gimmicks or finding the right one, because I feel like I'm still trying to find myself.
Not a lot of us are born with wrestling names.
You said what?
I said not a lot of us are born with wrestling names.
Right.
But I guess that's pretty much it. I think I'm tapped. I think I'm done. I think it's your turn. Or
TT's
turn. All right.
QT, do you have some questions for the guys?
Yes, I do. I'll start off with Aaron. Aaron, I saw a YouTube video of you entitled Aaron Anarchy versus Lila Lodge, and this took place on or near July 13th, 2013, at the PWE Midsummer Nightmare Classic. It was inside at the Veterans of Foreign War Hall, and if you freeze the video at the 19 to 21 second mark, you can see that the building is dedicated to Ernie Pyle, the famous World War II correspondent who died by Japanese sniper fire in World War II. Now, Ernie Pyle was also a true cruiserweight. He didn't really carry a gun. He carried a typewriter. But anyway, in this video, Aaron, Lila Lodge comes out the back and down to the ring, and her entrance music was "Girls Just Want to Have Fun" by Cyndi Lauper. As you know, in the 80s, Cyndi Lauper saw some action in the ring with Captain Lou Albano. Would you yourself classify Cyndi Lauper as a cruiserweight in the music business?
What? This is the greatest question of all time. Let's see. Who else was back in the 80s that we had to work with? I say yes. Definitely cruiserweight.
Oh, okay. You classify Cyndi Lauper as a cruiserweight. Okay. Now, Aaron, did you get a sense of relief when Lila took off her tiara and put it on the announcer for the match, and she did not use it on you as a foreign object? Were you relieved?
Well, obviously. That can be dangerous. I think it was really pointy.
Okay. Very pointy. Okay, now speaking of celebrities, and I'm speaking of Lila Lodge here, and also I'm speaking of Amy Farrah-Fowler, who is also into tiaras. Would you classify Amy Farrah-Fowler as a cruiserweight?
I'm legit drawing a blank on who that is.
Good bank Harry.
Girlfriend.
Hey, bank Harry.
This might require a bit more research. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
Oh, we're going to look forward to that. Okay, very good. Well, Aaron, when Dave the Beast Barnett was wrestling at Hoosier Pro Wrestling, do you believe he should have been classified as a cruiserweight referee?
No, I don't think he was the smallest referee they ever had, so no, I don't think he's the cruiserweight of the refs there.
Aaron, are you yourself going to start a movement in indie pro wrestling as having referees classified as heavyweight, cruiserweight, and middleweight? Will you undertake this task? That's what I'm asking.
I think the refs are good.
All right. Okay. Well, Aaron, would you say that Henry Rollins of Black Flag was one of the best cruiserweight rock singers of all time? Henry
yes.
Rollins.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, empathetic.
He was the best at everything. Cruiserweight, heavyweight, he was great at it all.
Okay. Well, Braden, I saw your YouTube video entitled Braden Lee versus Lucas Jacobs, MV, and the video was posted on April 7th, 2020. It was only 2 minutes and 50 seconds long, but I was amazed at Lucas' speaking ability. I'm sure almost all heavyweights could not pull it off or have his agility. One example of Lucas's leaping ability was when you whipped him toward the ring barrier and he jumped it at the 1 minute and 1 second mark of the match. He must have been 4 feet in the air. And at the 1 minute and 10 second mark, he leaped off the top turnbuckle and leaped 3/4 of the way across the ring, or about an estimated 18 feet. But you met him with your boot.
Yeah.
He really stopped his forward momentum. My question is, who asked him after the match if he had turned out for the long jump in track and field and if he ever jumped over 24 feet? Was this one of your questions?
All right, so I got to be honest with you. So you have us mixed up. So I'm actually the guy jumping the barricade and jumping across the ring like a maniac. So, but to answer your question, no, I did not try out for long jump. So, as far as I know, Lucas didn't either, but I can ask him. So.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay. Well, now both of you met in the start of the ring at the start of the match. And at the 15-second mark, you had your show of strength where you do the overhead reach. And my question is, when Jake the Snake Roberts stood to, if he could travel back in time and do this show of strength with Jake the Snake Roberts, would you have greater leverage because you were more squat and you could force all your strength up? It's like an NFL lineman who's like only 6'2", but he weighs 300 pounds. And he can get under the pads of someone who's 6'6", 300 pounds. I'm saying, would you use your 5-foot stature?
I would say that, and this is me hoping I heard the question the way you're asking it. I would say that if he is capable of standing up to a 6'3", 300-pound lineman, he's probably more than capable of overpowering me. So I'm going to have to go with no, he has the firm advantage.
Okay, that's only if you could time travel. Time travel is brought up a lot in this show. Yes, it
true,
really
yeah,
helps.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I can't believe it. Maybe it's because I drank 2 Red Bulls last night. kind of like Peter Griffin when he was hooked on Red Bull. Well, Kit, am I correct to hear that you served in the military?
Me? No, my whole family has, but I have not.
Okay. All right. Well, Kit, I am on the YouTube right now, and I did a search of the 10 greatest cruiserweight wrestlers of all time. And as such, I think you had the usual rankings of wrestlers that don't cause a lot of controversy. At number 10, the list of Brian Pillman. Now, as you know, in October of 1997, Pillman was set to face Dude Love at the WWF In Your House pay-per-view event. Brian never showed up for the event, and later on that evening, Jim Cornette contacted the hotel where Brian had stayed the previous night. Upon speaking with the manager of the hotel, Cornette learned that Pillman had been found dead in his room. The case of his death was determined to be a heart attack. At that time, Brian was only 35 years old. My question is, his opponent, Dude Love, was not a cruiserweight. How much pounds do you think Dude Love would have had to lose to have been assigned the title of cruiserweight? That's my question.
No, I mean, especially, I mean, back then, I mean, he's deceptively big. Both of them actually were. You know, if you take if you watch like old Brian Pillman matches or Dude Love matches, both those guys were, you know, decently big guys. I mean, both of them were. What's the cutoff now? They say anybody under 205 is a cruiserweight these days. And back then in the 90s, I'm sure it was a little bit bigger because guys like Chris Benoit and those guys were definitely weighing more than 205 pounds. So back then, you know, like. I think probably like 220 was probably considered a cruiserweight, but I think both those guys were definitely bigger than that.
Oh, all right. Well, now, Kit, that number 9 on the list that I'm looking at, they list Tajiri at number 9. At number 8, they have Justin Thunder Liger. Now, at number 7 is a wrestler that you may I'm pretty sure that you have probably heard of him. He was a Japanese wrestler named Hayabusa. H-A-Y-A-B-U-S-A. And I found this article very interesting. It says, the wrestler who ranks at number 7 on the list is someone who was tragically taken too soon. Hayabusa was trained by a legendary team of who's who when it comes to professional wrestling trainers, like Ultimo Dragon and Rey Mysterio Sr., and two of them. In 1987, Hayabusa made his debut with a very small Japanese independent promotion. His career, he would struggle through the smaller independent ranks before finally being noticed by Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling, which is where he really took off for Hayabusa.
I don't mean to interrupt. I can't hear nothing in the background.
Hayabusa would stack up a mountain of championships with FMW. But in 2001, everything came to an abrupt halt. During a match against Mammoth Tazaki, Hayabusa went for a springboard moonsault off the middle rope. Unfortunately, he lost his footing, which resulted in him landing on his head. Due to the manner in which he landed, Hayabusa tragically cracked two of his vertebrae, which subsequently left him paralyzed. Immediately following his injury, Hayabusa would constantly suffer harsh side effects from the injury, one being bleeding on the brain. On March 3, 2016, Hayabusa passed away unexpectedly after suffering a severe brain hemorrhage. He was only 47 at the time of his death. My question is, Have you heard of this number 7 ranked cruiserweight, according to this list, Hayabusa, the Japanese wrestler? Have you heard of him? And anyone
was that for QT?
What's that?
Who was that for?
Anyone. I'm going to say all of our guests, if they can chime in on this wrestler known as Hayabusa. I myself never heard of the guy. What about our guests and the number 7 ranking?
I heard him post his career. I heard that him, I actually think I saw like a YouTube video of him back in maybe 2006 or 2007. And
okay.
He's one of those guys that I wished I saw earlier. Just seeing all the innovative stuff he did is like, he deserves number 7, if not higher.
Wow, okay, all right. So you agree with that number 7 ranking, and that would put him between number 8, Jushin Thunder Liger, and number 6, the Ultimo Dragon?
Yeah. I don't know why that list has Jushin Liger that lower, but yeah, he's definitely up there, definitely like a top 10, one of the top cruiserweights of all time.
Okay, all right. You're saying he's like the cheese layer between a cheese sandwich with two chunks of bread on top and bottom.
Exactly. Exactly. Now you got me hungry.
All right, well, guys, we have a few minutes left in today's show, and I want to make sure everybody's got a chance to say what they want, plug anything they want. So if you guys have anything at all you would like to say to our listeners and plug and promote all the social medias, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite gear maker, anything in the world that you want to say. Aaron Anarchy, go right ahead and start.
Thank you for listening. I again apologize for my daughter trying to chime in when she wants to.
Not a problem.
As far as the social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Anarchy121-whatever all that stuff is, with two A's. no upcoming shows. I'm kind of taking the whole COVID deal as a chance to stay home, relax, be a dad. So, no upcoming shows, and again, thanks for listening.
All right. Kit, what about you? Do we got Kit with us? Oh, looks like he dropped it. All right, so Braden?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I have pages all at Braden X Lee. I have a show next Sunday in Spencer, Indiana, Complex Chaos, part of New Wave Pro. Cole Radrick partnering with New Wave Pro to run a show out there. Also, please, if you are listening, feel free to swing by The Collective October 9th, 10th, and 11th. There's going to be 12 amazing shows on those 3 days. The top independent companies from all across the U.S. will be there. I'll be there in attendance as well. So if you want to see some great wrestling, you definitely want to make sure you're at The Collective October 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Chris Brady, how about you?
Oh, man, no upcoming shows, but I do have some things in the works. You guys can follow me on social media, Chris Brady 35 on Instagram, and WGA Chris Brady on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to see me anywhere, any promotions, man, let them know. Let your voices be heard.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you guys for being with us today. We appreciate it very, very much, and I hope to see all of you guys again fairly soon. Aaron, apparently you and I are going to tag team once again, apparently.
One day. It will happen.
There we go. We got it booked, apparently. So, JB Moonshine, can people buy Moonshiner T-shirts from you if they want?
Maybe hit me up. I got hats. Shirt. I got hoodies now. Just hit me up on Facebook or whatever. And I'll look at that BCW or CPW or NWP. Hopefully after all the stuff is over, I'll be defending my heavyweight title for CPW again. So
I'm going to take that from you. I'm going to take that from
you. Yeah. I'm going to be the first heavyweight that owns the cruiserweight title. Watch.
Have fun with that.
I'm not even sure how that would work, but I want to see the attempt made.
Wait. I'm like the longest reigning cruiserweight champion CPW has ever seen. So good luck with that.
Hey, I'm the first Grand Slam champion over there, see?
But I've already beat you. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, but I've held every title over there. But the cruiserweight.
It's okay. We'll see.
All right, I just know I was the best JB Moonshine in CPW history. But
what it is, Chris, is you and me against that Team Jeff over there.
I would take it.
I'm down with that.
All right, well, fans, we'll be back next week. Next week we got Media Day. We got journalists coming in that cover the professional wrestling industry. That should be a fascinating discussion. People that cover pro wrestling for the various media outlets. Make sure you have plans to join us then. Get out there, support your local independent wrestling. All these cruiserweights, definitely worth the price of a ticket if they're going to be appearing in your area. You'd be well worth going if they are on a show near you. So definitely support them. Buy some merchandise from them. And we'll talk to you soon.
Be safe and wear a mask.